Blog Talk Radio.
You ready? And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Memorial Day, where we here at Wrestle Radio remember those who we have loved, lost, and cherished, we ask that you please stand or take off your hat to please rise for the singing of the national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, proof through the night that our flag was still there. No, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask you for 10 seconds of silence as we remember those who have served this country and for those around the world who have died serving their country, and remembrance and sovereignty, and for the thankfulness and gratitude of freedom and sacrifice that we live under for those who we have lost, and for those who we remember. 10 seconds of silence, please. Okay, so I realize that it's Memorial Day and that I am doing an episode on said day. In observance and in credence and in agreement with Wrestle Radio Incorporated to do a show based on the wrestlers that have passed on, the managers, the valets, mainly simply because here's the thing. A lot of times we watch a program and we forget who helped pave the way for said superstars. And a lot of people refer to Andre the Giant or John Studd or, you know, just people that they remember. So here's what I'm going to tell you all. Number one, the people that have come and gone in WWE, not just WWE, the old territories that you see before you on the network like AWA, NWA, Mid-South Wrestling, Smoky Mountain Wrestling Pro, all of them, it's not just Owen Hart that we remember. It's names like Brian Pillman and Sensational Sherry, and names like Luna Vachon and Antonio Inoki and Kovloff and, you know, Classy Freddie Blassie, names that we can preserve in our heart of all hearts as wrestling fans. Andre the Giant helped pave the way for guys like Braun Strowman and Big Show and Kevin Nash and all that stuff. If big guys maneuver in the ring, it's very difficult. They got to put on a show for you folks. But if we're going to start with Andre the Giant, let's get some backstories on these folks before I start spouting off random babbling. Andre the Giant was born in the French Alps. So if you want the bio, most of the same would say, hang on a second, folks. So, here's the deal. Andre the Giant, as I'm pulling up the research, man was a grand total, look it up, look at the height, everything. Seven foot 4 inches, was born he died January 27th, 1993. Andre Rene Roussimoff, best known as Andre the Giant. Yeah. He's born May 19th, 1946. So he was 47 years old, folks, when he passed away. He wrestled, feuded with Hulk Hogan. And that, folks, I got to tell you, is a feat in itself. Andre the Giant really wasn't, he was not the mean giant that you think of when you see Princess Bride. Or, you know, the lovable big guy that you saw beat up Bobby Heenan or made Bobby Heenan miserable. He helped pave the way for big guys in wrestling, guys that are like, you know, Braun Strowman. If we can compare him to anybody, that's what people are comparing him now. So I just want to say that thank you, Andre, for giving us memories. You know, I wasn't even around, barely maybe, not even thought of in 1987 when he had the match with Hulk Hogan. Well, I remember wrestlers. This is a wrestling show, but like I said at the beginning of the show, we had remembrance for the veterans who had served in the business and for those who gave their lives to sacrifice. So if that question has any regards, I'm surprised I even have a question up right now. But thank you, sir, for the question. As I read on about, you know, guys like, comparatively speaking, Braun Strowman to Andre the Giant, sure, he doesn't have as many accolades, but dude is big. He's getting over really quick with the crowd, so. You know, but see, if you take care of it, say he was born in 1983. His build height is 6'8". His build weight is 385. So he's similar, but he's not as similar, you know. So there's, the thing is, he's so big and it's so hard for him to get a hold of. Because if somebody beats him, it's either Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe. That's not the point of today's show, but Andre the Giant helped pave the way for guys like Kevin Nash, Braun Strowman, Sid Vicious, Undertaker. The list goes on because big men and Yokozuna, they may not be as tall or as menacing as Andre was, but Andre's back was killing him, everything that. How are we supposed to remember a giant in wrestling? Well, not just Andre that had influence, guys. There's guys like John Studd. There are guys and gals that really didn't, you know, stick out in wrestling. And what I'm going to focus on today for the 45 minutes would be like Sensational Sherry, people like Luna Vachon, Mae Young, not so much, well, Mae Young Classic, of course. Her influence in women's wrestling was huge because she was a pioneer in the women's revolution. There's other women that pioneered stuff. But at the same token, the women that had influence for the women of today that helped pave the way for the women, Sensational Sherry, Luna Vachon, there are a lot of others. Wendi Richter, possibly, you know, because she was a big influence in Alundra Blaze's career. There just comes a point in time, folks, when you talk about who we remember, why we remember them on this special day, Memorial Day, especially in wrestling, because there's a lot of influence that you see out there. There's a lot of influence that we don't normally talk about on this show because we're so busy critiquing and picking apart a show. What is it about Antonio Inoki or Kovalev or other guys that you see in today's style of wrestling? Back then, a super kick was unheard of. You know, back then, women wrestling wasn't even a thing. I mean, it barely existed, you know, just hair pulling and dressing up and doing vignettes and then having feuds with them. I think Sherry and Luna were probably the only two back in their day alongside Aja Kong and a few others that were making sense as they were working. So remembering these people instead of saying, well, here's the analyzation of them, here's their character bio, blah, 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 I'm just giving you insight as to look at the women now. Look at the movement that's going on now because of Sherry, because of Luna, because of Mae Young, because of Alundra Blaze, because of Aja Kong, because of Bertha Faye. You've got a variation in the women's division that's evolved. Not just the women's division. It's the fact that even people who have not passed on, they still remember them, you know, like Juventud Guerrero and Rey Mysterio and Chavo Guerrero, the cruiserweight division. So here's the thing, folks. Remembering which wrestlers was an influence is a big deal. And how those influences come about is a big deal as well. So when in wrestling, it's best to remember who got us to where we're at. It's best to remember the special kind of influences that have either passed on or have retired and have some kind of semblance of memory of what these people did for us, men and women. That's what I'm doing the show. There's no going to be, for today, there will be no off the rails uncensored because it is Memorial Day. It is a day of remembrance. It is a day where we don't forget those who we've lost, whether it be in the services, whether it be to gunshot, whether it be to a sad circumstance that befalls upon you. I'm not reading from paper, folks. Trust me. Trust you. Trust me. Okay. There is a limit to saying, well, this person influenced my career, and that person, you know, is just a memory. To me, I think it's important that we all believe that memory or not, it's very, very, very important. We don't forget people like Andre the Giant, Antonio Inoki, Sensational Sherry, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Classy Freddie Blassie, especially Bruno Sammartino, who really did have a marquee on influencing, you know, good technical wrestling. And his story is kind of inspiration. Bruno's backstory is that he was someone who refused to serve in the Italian army. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a huge, huge fan of Bruno Sammartino's before, you know, of course, that he passed. But that Bruno gave the influence of you don't have to be flashy to be a wrestler. He died, you know, not too long ago, April 18th. He was born October 6, 1935, in Pizzoferrato, Italy. He died due to organ failure due to heart issues. So to live from 1959 to 2018, folks, that's a grand total of 40 would be 09, so 50. Oh, let's see, 60. Wow. 50 would be 19. No, no, no. 50 would be 09. Yeah, he's only 59 years old. He didn't even make 60 years old, but the man basically was serving the army. He avoided serving the army, was going to get arrested. And luckily, he came here with little money in his pocket. So that's an inspirational story in and of itself. His career, when he wrestled for WWE, was very short-lived. But, I mean, in the 70s, Vince Sr. made a lot of money off of Bruno Sammartino. I mean, sellout after sellout. Madison Square Garden. That's not the only reason why I remember him. But to sell out a legendary arena, who can say they've done that aside from Hogan and Andre and a few other cats right now, you know, involved in wrestling? So Bruno gave the inspirational side, just like all the other people have their inspirational stories as well. To focus a little bit on Bruno Sammartino, a lot of you don't recall him unless he was part of the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to tell you, just reading, not just reading from my phone, but just recalling meeting him before Hall of Fame at a meet and greet, Mania 29. Very nice gentleman. He loves the fan. He loved the fans. He loved wrestling, period, because that's what changed his life. So in other words, you have a positive influence like Bruno Sammartino. You have a positive influence like Andre the Giant. You have a positive influence like Sherry Luna, Antonio Inoki, just to name a few. I know people are going to razz on me for this, but that's not the point of today's show. Brian Pillman, Owen Hart, British Bulldog, Yokozuna. I could go on down the list of WWE stars that have passed away, but, you know, Balls Mahoney. I mean, that guy, the reason that he's such a good worker, let's see here. He died April 12, 2016. Acute myocardial infarction. Yikes. So, let's see, he was born in 1972. Let's, 44 years old. What was Balls Mahoney influence in the business? If you can get a crowd, especially ECW's crowd, to chant or mark out for your name, not just that, but to move as well as he did for a big guy, then I'll tell you. So there's a lot of legends that have passed on, and what does their passing on have anything to do with Memorial Day? Whenever you die, you leave. Some believe there's certain things that'll happen, and I'm not going to get into that. But whenever you die in professional wrestling, there's a little story or stories to be told about said person and how those stories, they impact you. They make you want to somehow live up to what they did or do it differently. That's what the death of a professional wrestler or somebody in the business will do to someone. Now, some of you are asking, well, you're a podcast host. It doesn't have anything to do with me today. It's all about remembering. It's all about recalling the good stuff. I remember when I was little, I used to really like Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. Now, here's a little backstory on, you know, I love looking stuff up to be accurate. So, Gorilla Monsoon was a very good play-by-play. He was excellent at what he did, and just listening to him all over the stuff. He died in October 6, 1999, in Willingboro, New Jersey. He died of diabetes. That man loved his food. He was a native New Yorker, born June 4th, 1937, in Rochester, New York. It was great because his voice was just one of those that you couldn't duplicate, you couldn't replicate. a lot of people were just trying to understand, you know, okay, what's you know, Bobby Heenan's role with him. Back in the day, man, when I was little, those two were like Laurel and Hardy. And watching them, listening to them, it was very refreshing because we as kids had something to look forward to. It was always fun listening to the commentators. That's what made WWE back in the day. And also the talent alongside what was going on. So Gorilla Monsoon, I remember very vaguely, you know, and then I would watch, of course, the network. And it made me think, okay, wow, what a treasure Gorilla Monsoon really was. And also, you know what, Bobby Heenan, one of my all-time favorites, because there's a lot of things you don't know about Heenan that I can relay to you. One, not just his birth date and what happened to him as he deteriorated. He died in Largo, Florida, but that ain't it. Okay, he was born in Chicago, Illinois, in 1944, November 1st. The reason why Bobby is worth remembering and recalling is because, number one, he was one of my biggest loves growing up as a child. Loves as in whenever I'd be sad and then I would hear him on NBC Saturday Night's Main Event, and Bobby Heenan would say something funny. I'm a broadcast journalist, or he'd trip over himself or get slimed or whatever. Bobby was a perfect complement to Gorilla Monsoon. He made it so to the point where you forgot what you were feeling sad about. He just was perfect comedic timing, great manager. A lot of people don't realize this, but Rick Rude didn't really need Bobby, and didn't really like Bobby managing him. But Bobby's story is like this. You know, when he was a young kid, he had the innate ability to make people mad or just really riled up. But later, if you look on about it, Bobby was doing his job. If I, you know, didn't get you over with me, how am I supposed to, you know, go to the back and explain to the promoter, I did my job, you know? That's what Bobby would say. And remembering him is, you know, for us managers, he's one of the biggest geniuses when it comes to working the crowd, whether he was good or bad. When he went to WCW, I believe it was in the biopic of him, he said that I just needed a place to go. You know, it was closer to home. I didn't have to deal with the schedule or whatever. And I always know that stuck out with me because in pro wrestling, you travel, you're away from family, you make sacrifices. It may not be the same as all the military men and women, but in essence, you sacrifice your livelihood, and that's what he did. And he made really good shows. He put people on the map like Goldberg, Sting, Warrior, Piper, Savage, Hogan. The list goes on, folks. Speaking of Rowdy Roddy Piper, that's also one of the names that I'd like to recall remembering. Loud, foul-mouthed, told it like it was, kind of like the Chris Jericho back in the day. Combine the personality of The Miz and Chris Jericho and you get Rowdy Piper, but seeing how that's not a fair comparison, what I'm saying is Rowdy really gave the fans a synopsis of what a showman is supposed to do. It's because people forget. Whenever they see the names on the screen or the faces on the Tron, like Paul Bear is another one, a manager, Percival Pringle. A guy that literally guided careers and made people a success because of his managerial status and what he did outside of the ring to make these wrestlers look good. And the fact that he was inducted into the Hall of Fame and wasn't there to accept it was kind of emotional. April 10, 1954, he passed on. March 5th, in 2013, he lived through Alabama and died of a heart attack. His wrestling career began in 1974. He has two children, Daniel Moody and Michael Moody. So one of them is joined Percival, or Daniel, you know, it's really sad. the what you look at what he's done, if you look at Percy's career and you say to yourself, well, how does he compare to Bobby Heenan? How does he compare to Andre the Giant? And how does he compare to other people in general that have passed on? I know the lifestyle of a manager is different from a wrestler. We're supposed to outlive you guys. But that's, again, I'm not making this about manager-wrestler. What I'm saying is it all depends on the individual and what healthy life choices they make. But what Percy did for this business, not just WWE, was if you put him on the microphone, promo, vignette, whatever. I can remember being a kid and seeing Paul Bearer and The Undertaker. I was not scared. I was intrigued. And I'm not kidding you. Normally, you know, I'd be afraid of like Freddy Krueger and the Leprechaun and all that. But Paul Bearer, he had that really creepy horror film voice. Ooh, yeah! I lived to hear that later on in Undertaker's career. And when he came back multiple times here and there, you know, it wasn't full-time like it used to be. I can tell you, remembering him, he is a huge, was and still is a huge influence to all of managers and all of valets everywhere. Granted, we won't be able to add an urn into our repertoire of being a gimmick, but just, you know, just for nostalgia's sake, people. I mean, look, he added value to guys like Kane, to guys like Ken Shamrock, and the guys that really didn't stand out career-wise. I mean, they had a great, you know, offense, you know, their movesets, but Paul Bearer, you add that name to Mankind, to Kane, to pretty much everywhere and their mother when it comes to professional wrestling legend names, he was a huge influence. Now, next I'd like to talk to you about Sensational Sherri, which I've pretty much covered beforehand. I've mentioned her several times. I've compared Zelina Vega to her, Melina. And a lot of people ask, well, you know, Sherri was a huge, huge influence in the women's division. She was, because she look who she managed. Harlem Heat. She helped manage Tatanka. She fought against Luna Vachon. A lot of people compare Vanessa Bourne to her. Sherri Martel, unfortunately, you know, she was a drug overdose and she died of that, but that's not what I'm focusing on. She debuted in 1980. Let's see here. I know. She died June 15, 2007. She's 49 years old, and she lived in Alabama. She is known as Sensuous Sherri, Sherri Martine, Peggy Sue, Queen Sherri, Sister Sherri, Sherri Martel, and Sensational Sherri. She retired in 2006. And what does me reading bios have anything to do with Memorial Day? It's important to know where these people came from, when they were born, and when they passed on, because then I can talk to you about the memories that flood into my brain. One of those memories I have of Sherri was WrestleMania 9, Luna Vachon. I think the way that Sherri carried herself, she managed Macho Man Randy Savage, she managed Harlem Heat, she had a pivotal role in WCW, just a tidbit. She wasn't afraid to get her hands dirty. That's what most people forget, is that she was not afraid. She was one of those women that didn't really care who you threw in front of her. As long as she could slap them around, Sherri was good. I'm going to touch very briefly on Owen Hart because I feel like it's important. Owen Hart, I know, died May 23rd, 1999, over the edge. But he was born, I believe, in 1969, May 7th, 1965. So he was 34 years young. He had a wife that he left behind. Let me just say something about Owen. I never knew the man personally. I maybe met him once or twice during autograph sessions. He was the nicest dude ever. I liked him when he was going through change in Nation of Domination. I appreciated what he did against Brett. And I'm going to leave it at, I really enjoyed hearing him talk because he was one of the greatest on the mic. And how did Owen Hart, you know, Owen Hart helped pave the way for guys like The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, because if you take a look at their styles, man, the Step Up Integrates is one crew. That was Owen's big thing. It was definitely difficult being there May 23rd, 1999. Over the Edge in Your House pay-per-view. That was a pre-birthday gift for me and my a friend of mine that came with. Went to that event in Kemper Arena, and right before that was a hardcore match, and then Owen, I guess, was supposed to come down from the rafters, and that never happened, so. Definitely interesting. It's sad that a Hart legacy is not, you know, carried on. I mean, Natalya, obviously, but it's definitely a sore subject that I'm just going to leave alone. So, the men and women who helped pave the way in WWE, and not just them. Bruiser Brody, you know, remembering guys and gals that actually stood out and not for the, you know, okay, let's remember them and then go on about our day. No. This today, you know, Memorial Day, we remember those who have fallen, yes, but we also remember those in wrestling who helped pave the way, gave good influences, gave positive vibes, and really allow us, you know, to recall upon certain things. Things such as, you know, memorable quotes, like, I can't believe these humanoids are all believing in this nonsense. That's why they don't brush their teeth all the way. They only have half the yellow teeth, you know. Bobby Heenan would say outlandish stuff. Gorilla Monsoon would keep him in line. Andre the Giant was just a big, lovable, fun dude in actuality, you know. In wrestling, he'd make it look easy where the little guy gets beat up by him in the ring. Then you have, oh yeah, the Ultimate Warrior, a guy that was hard to understand as an adult. But, you know, as a kid, you think a guy beating his chest and has face paint on and a cool eagle design, runs to the ring, shakes the top rope. That was cool. I mean, little stuff, guys, that help you remember the wrestlers that help give you a career. Legion of Doom. I don't know about you all, but they were probably one of the coolest tag teams I've ever seen in my life. Aside from the Steiners and aside from all the other tag teams that I actually grew up watching and saying, okay, cool. A lot of times we as fans forget where certain wrestlers get their influences from and get their movesets from and get their mannerisms and some of their gimmick from. That's why I've decided to go a little different route today on today's episode, because we need to remember as fans where our stuff came from. It's not just Andre the Giant and John Studd and Bruno Sammartino and Sensational Sherry and Luna Vachon and Antonio Inoki. You see, if I'm recalling someone that's not dead, I apologize, but Antonio Inoki. No, he's still around. He's a retired professional wrestler. Who gave him the index card that he was dead? You guys are mean. He's got one child, but Antonio Inoki's still around. He was born February 20th, 1943. So him and Bruno Sammartino, they wrestled. And Antonio is viewed as a villain. He's viewed as a hero. Point is, folks, here's the thing. When in wrestling, it's good to remember those who have passed on before us and also those who are in front of us, because the ones who passed on, they wanted all of us to just still do the same thing they did when they were in the ring. And that is, allow the fans to love you, hate you, but allow the fans to never forget you. Believe that's the goal of every worker, I would hope. Not every goal is the same. Remembering those who helped pave the way is better than, okay, yeah, it's on a sheet of paper, I just got to remember you just because. So, folks, that'll do it for today's episode of Wrestle Radio Monday. Join myself, Brian Rails, for an amazing episode of Wrestle Radio Tuesday. All right. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Thank you to all the men and women who have served this country. God bless you all. Have a nice day, night, whatever. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, you don't support what we're all about, got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Enjoy. Thank you so much to all the men and women once again.